What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Morris, Wall, Beal, and Gortat. Porter can't find anybody. He gives it to Wall. Looking against Bradley for three. John Wall! What a shot! And the Washington Wizards will live for Game 7.
That's John Wall hitting a shot and jumping up on the scorer's table. That's as good as it gets, forcing a Game 7 against the Boston Celtics. Screw you, Kellen Olynyk. The Kelly Olynyk game would soon follow.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would.
That was as good as things have gotten around these parts as far as hoops, and John Wall was a big reason why. That year, he finished top seven in the MVP chase, and John Wall that year averaged about 24 points and 11 assists. You go back and you look at those numbers, how does he finish third-team All-NBA?
Just a different time, man. Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double was the MVP. It was the era of the super team. But Wall was unbelievable that season.
Let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We bring on to the show, it's been a long time, our guy Chris Miller. He is the play-by-play voice of your Washington Wizards on Monumental Sports. About that time again, Chris, to start seeing you on the call and the Wizards on the hardwood this fall.
Looking forward to it, Grant and Danny. It's been a while. Great to hear your voice. Just enjoying the last couple of weeks before we tee it up and roll that ball out again. But just hearing Mark Jones's call on what I think is the biggest shot ever in that building, it just brings back a lot of memories. And yesterday was kind of just a, I don't know, man. It was like I was happy for John, but I was also sad just to think about all the years we had with him and all the memories. And now he's going to turn around and be an analyst and call games. And man, I'm getting old. You know, you just think about it. He was 19 years old. He had peach fuzz on his face. There was a red carpet. Now he's a father of two, and he's a basketball analyst. It's like, where did the time go?
It is incredible. You were the first guy we thought of today, though, because you were kind of right there for his entire career on the sideline and in multiple roles, obviously now calling the games. But before we even get to the on-the-floor element of this, which everybody saw, there was a real legit love for him in this city and connection between him and D.C. that I've only ever seen really at its apex with Gilbert Arenas, and that was short-lived. But how would you chronicle that for maybe either younger fans or new Wizards fans? Like, at his peak, what Wall meant to D.C. and vice versa?
Well, he was the genuine article of the realest athlete I have covered in almost 30 years of being in this business. What you saw with him is what you got. When he gave you a quote, he was thoughtful, and he meant it. And it might not have come all across as smooth as many people thought. You know, he was country. He talked fast, all of this stuff. But being a fellow North Carolinian, I understood him. I understood him the very first day I met him. And that realness is, I think, the reason why he was kind of the Pied Piper for our city. Not just leaving it on the floor every night, but he was just genuine. He was as real as it gets.
Chris, what did he not get enough credit for in your mind? I mean, the point guard has sort of evolved into just another shooter out there, basically, at this stage of the game. But he was right. Old school in that way, where it's running the offense, a blur with the basketball in his hands, et cetera. But, I mean, you were there courtside and seeming to practice and everything else. What did he not get enough credit for as a player?
Danny, I don't think people realize he played hurt almost his entire career. Now, the last 5 or 6 years, everyone knows how it ended. But really, he dealt with bone spurs. He injured his hand. We know about the 5 non-displaced fractures in his hand during the playoffs. He played hurt. I remember one time he had this bone spur in his foot, and he had surgery on it. And he texted me the photo of what the bone spur looked like when the doctor removed it. And I just remember just looking at that and going, there's no way I could articulate it to fans to understand what he was playing through. He played hurt a lot. And Grant, you talked about the numbers he had in his best season, which was 16-17. But throughout his entire time in D.C., to do that and not to complain, he talked to the media every day. You know, win or loss, he was always in his locker. And I think that's where the appreciation for John Wall really came from a media standpoint, is that guy never ducked when something bad happened to either him or the team. He was front-facing that way, and it was I appreciated that, because as you guys know, there are some athletes that duck when bad things happen, but they'll be front and center when something good happens. John was never that way. He always talked.
Let's talk John Wall, the player. Chris Miller of Monumental Sports is with us. On the floor, I mentioned the best year statistically, and he finished 7th in the MVP hunt, 3rd-team All-NBA All-Star in that 16-17 season. I mean, he was a star of stars, too. Like, there was a time where he's in dunk contests, and he made 5 straight All-Star teams. We don't have guys around here do that in my lifetime, but you take me back to kind of early and then at his apex, like how we got there and what kind of player he turned into.
Well, he couldn't shoot, and he would tell you that when he first got into the league. I mean, he was just a blur with the basketball in his hand. He was the fastest in the league, and I'm comparing him to, at that point, the Derrick Rose of the world, the Russell Westbrooks. John Wall, to me, I thought was faster than both of them. And I grew up, I remember watching a lot of small point guards. I never saw anybody as fast as John Wall, and he was about 6'3", 6'4", about 195 pounds doing that. So in the beginning of his career, he was just a blur, and he evolved every year. I thought he got better with that jump shot, but his vision, the pick and roll with Gortat, I thought was one of the best pick and rolls in NBA history behind Stockton and Malone. That might sound like hyperbole, but when you see it every night and you know teams were scouting it every night and they could not stop it, that was a large part about John being able to run that offense. And again, I talked about being hurt, playing hurt. All of that kind of is in the mix when you're trying to talk about John Wall. It's like, how was he able to do all this stuff every night? And he played, Grant and Danny, in my opinion, the golden age of point guards. He would tell you, he would look at the schedule and be like, damn, I got Chris Paul tonight. I got Westbrook 2 nights from now. I got a back-to-back. I got to see Kyrie. I mean, the list went on. And he was right there in the mix when you were talking about who were the best point guards during that golden era.
In terms of, again, kind of on court, it's always so hard when, you know, your teammates may not be able to run with you, and you kind of have to adapt to different styles. I mean, think of the different coaches where Randy Whitman, you know, loved defense more than I love carbohydrates, Chris, you know, just different coaching styles and different things like that. How hard was it for folks to kind of catch up, right? Because if you got someone that fast, let's play fast, but it wasn't always that way. I'd love for you to kind of go into that, some of those relationships and you know, maybe how tough it was for teammates to play with a guy that skilled and that quick.
All right, well, I won't name any names, but, you know, I would be at practice sometimes, and I would see some of these bigs, and I'm like, there's no way in hell they can run with John. How are they going to be able to run with him? But it just worked. he made it work. And I thought Gortat was great for him in the half court. I thought Nene, I thought when the Wizards acquired Gortat and Nene, that allowed John and Brad to elevate their games. Remember, they were young. They were babies. That first playoff series in Chicago, they beat the Bulls in five. I think that was a byproduct of having two tough bigs down there that could really be physical and allow John and Brad to kind of grow their game. And Brad was the perfect piece for John to have a two guard that could come off, you know, action where you set a screen and Brad comes off a screen and shoots threes. And they were just perfect for each other. I just think that they were too young. We just needed, another guy. And John and I have talked about this over the years. And I know a lot of people would talk about like Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant was never going to come here. But the guy that I thought, if we could have got this player, I don't know what we would be talking about today. And it was Paul George. Paul George at that time was a really good player, an all-league player. And they've all said it. There was talk of Paul George coming to D.C. And if that would have happened, I don't know what the narrative would have been like. But I think this team could have competed for Eastern Conference Finals appearances, not once, but twice. But going back to your question about the bigs, they had to figure it out because John wasn't going to slow down. You guys know that watching it. He was never going to slow down. He was going to go from 0 to 100 in like 5 seconds, and it was your job to get in condition and to run with him because the fruits of his speed got a lot of guys paid on this team, as you guys know.
Chris Miller is with us. John Wall announcing yesterday officially that he'll be retiring. We're reminiscing about his career. You went into some of what he dealt with physically. He basically played like half seasons in his final 2 years on the floor here. Then he missed 1920, did play in Houston, missed another season, then played minimally with the Clippers. But going back to the end as far as health, what do you remember about some of what he was going through to get his body ready to play?
You know, the double knee surgery was before the 16-17 year, which was his best year, right? But, you know, even after that, the Achilles tear, and it just, his body just broke down. He just played in a way where you would want him to kind of slow down, but then you're taking away his superpower. It was kind of like watching a bigger version of Allen Iverson. We all love Bubba Chuck, the way he played, no fear, always played hurt. John's favorite player growing up was Allen Iverson, and you could see that kind of toughness in that position that John would play through anything. And I think it just cost him his career, to be real honest with you guys, just the way he played and fighting through a lot of stuff. I think at the end of the day, if he could go back, I don't even know if he would ever change the way he played, but I think now he kind of understands I could have elongated my career if maybe I could have slowed down a little bit or not take that fall. Because you guys remember how many times you see John get to the rack and he would fall and you'd be like, oh no, is this the one? And he would jump right up, right? I think those are the things that he kind of thinks about today as he's going into the second act of being an analyst. And that's the part I'm really excited about, is to hear him kind of talk about the game today compared to when he was playing.
Yeah, because again, Chris, I think the answer that I have for the question I asked you before about what did not get enough credit for, how great of a basketball mind he was. Just, you know, old school point guard, seeing things, the way he saw the floor, just he had that savant level understanding of things. And a lot of times those guys make the best analysts, like the catcher makes the best manager for baseball. And I'm looking forward to that next chapter for him, for a guy that wasn't always, as you said, gregarious or outgoing with every member of the media, but I think he'll be really, really good at it.
You know what's funny, Danny? I'll share this story with you guys. I can't even tell you how many times I interviewed him, but there was this one time I was doing an interview at his house, and I walked into the living room, and there's four big TVs that are attached to each other. I mean, you talk about picture in picture. This thing was the craziest thing I ever saw, but there were games on there. There was a women's basketball game. There was an NBA game, two NBA games, and there was a college men's basketball game going on. And he's sitting on his couch, and, you know, we're getting the camera set up and the lighting and all this stuff. And he's talking to me, but he's not looking at me. He's looking at these monitors, and it was all basketball. And that was the first time where I was like, this dude is a savant. I was like, this is crazy how he's watching all these games. And like now he's going to be, it's going to be like Christmas for him now, where he's just sitting in these studios and he's just talking about basketball. But he's been doing this. I don't think a lot of people realize how smart he is and just how he sees the game of basketball. It was kind of on just another level. And he can talk to you about any kind of basketball, boys and girls, AAU, college basketball, NBA, WNBA. He knows all of it. And he's just always been kind of a student of the game. That's the exciting part of seeing like now what he'll do now with a camera now in front of him, with him wearing a suit.
Chris, before we let you go, be remiss if we didn't look ahead. We're closing in on the fall here. I'm thrilled about the Trey Johnson pick. They got a guard who can score it. And what are some of the things you're interested in as far as this young team as they get to camp and start working out some of the roster decisions they have to make?
Grant, allowing these young kids to blossom. It's another year. You know, I'm sitting here at home, but I'm watching what's happening overseas with this Euro Cup that's getting ready to happen. And I really like what I'm seeing from Bilal Coulibaly. I'm really excited about Alex Sarr. They're playing well over there. They're getting those international reps. And that's the part where when you're tearing it down like this and you're starting to build with these young kids, you're going to watch them grow in real time. And the last couple of years, I've just been honored to watch it every night. I don't take no nights off, guys, every play. And you can see where some of these kids are getting better. And one of the real positives I saw this summer in Las Vegas was a kid like Keyshawn George, who I don't know if a lot of Wizards fans knew who he was when he got drafted, but they know who he is now. And he's gotten a little taller. He was really good in Vegas. And you're starting to see, okay, what role can he play on this team? Okay, we saw Trey Johnson excite us in Vegas with his ability to shoot. Bilal Coulibaly is a really good defender. Bud Carrington played every game, one of 11 guys in the entire NBA last season that played every game. And for the way Bub ended the season, hitting the game-winning shot last game of the year in Miami, dealing with all the stuff off the floor he had to deal with, the passing of his father, mental toughness, those are the things that I kind of get excited about, and that's what I'm looking forward to seeing coming, you know, after Labor Day, is what's the next step these kids are going to take.
Chris, great to catch up with you, buddy. Appreciate you joining us.
Always good talking to you guys. Have a great week.
See you, buddy.
Be good. There's Chris Miller, Monumental Sports. He'll be on the call of Wizards basketball again when they get going this fall. Jaden Daniels has thrown zero passes through two games. He may not play in the third preseason game. I think we're expecting that he won't against the Ravens. How do you feel about him starting the season with a wide receiver position in flux, with zero attempts in game since the NFC Championship game? That's next on The Fan.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good to reminisce about the career of John Wall with Chris Miller. That conversation on Wall's legacy on The Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Danny, whether we feel good about it or not, it looks like Jaden Daniels is going to enter the season without having thrown a pass. So maybe the question of can you be okay with that isn't all that important, because it's here.
It is.
It's happening probably one way or the other. I guess it's two questions then that are relevant and interesting today. One is, would you do it that way if you're Dan Quinn? You could still avoid it. You could still have him throw some passes and play in a series or two this Saturday. So that's number one. Would you want him to get some work as a passer? And then secondarily, do you think that's in any way an issue? They don't have McLaurin. They don't have Noah Brown. So if you're throwing to guys that aren't going to be on the field against the Giants maybe anyway, then you could make the case the reps are less important. If he's just going out there and throwing passes, but Zach Ertz isn't playing again, which he won't be, and you're down your wide receiver one, wide receiver two, tight end one, then does he really have to throw passes? I would have sat here and said they had joint practices against New England. They had joint practices against the Ravens. This is a nothing burger. He's going to be fine. But they really only had the joint practices against the Patriots, and that was weeks ago at this point, and a burgundy and gold scrimmage game. So Dan Quinn went on record today saying, you guys will like practice tomorrow. We're really going to ramp it up. We're bringing in referees. It sounds like they're going to try to have a really significant, legitimate practice.
Which is great, yeah.
Replace the Ravens thing that's not happening. But it's just not the same. So where are you at on zero pass attempts for Daniels in August going into the year?
So I'm going somewhere with this. My wife and I have a push and pull all the time about me trying to save us some money. I want to save money. I want to cut spending. So I'll do this. I'll do like little things. Like I'll cut a streaming service that we don't use very often, but we do once every 6 months, and we got to have it. But I'm going, you know, I'm going to save this $7.99 a month. And she was like, well, what difference does that make? You know what I mean? Like $7.99 doesn't make or break us.
$8 a month?
Yeah, the $8 a month doesn't make or break us. And and like she's got a point on that, right? And so
a couple years from now, that adds up.
Well, yeah, you got to take a really, you got to 25, 30 years in the future. You'll wish you had that $8 in August. But the point that I'm always making is, well, yeah, you do that a few more times and then it kind of adds up. So the reason I bring that up is If Jaden Daniels throws five passes against the Ravens, is that really that much more than zero in the whole preseason? It's more. Five is more than zero. I'm aware of that. But to me, the kind of the window or the opportunity for a lot of work in the preseason for Daniels with his first team offense and a bunch of players, that's already been taken away from you. Both with McLaurin's holdout, with the fact you're never going to play Ertz in the preseason anyway, that Noah Brown's been injured. Like, the top targets that he's going to throw passes to, Austin Eckler's probably your target three. Samuel would have played, so that's one of your four guys that's going to get the football the most that maybe it would have played in the preseason. That's already kind of been ripped away. So I'm bummed about it. I'm nervous about it. And it's not a Daniels problem thing. It's just kind of the reality of on the ground. When you have holdout, super veteran in Zach Ertz, injury in Noah Brown, and then Samuels is Deebo Samuels is the fourth guy, you're never going to have great reps and great looks. I don't care about him throwing to Michael Gallup or some other guy that's not really going to be on the roster or part of this thing.
Yeah, so I'm team preseason. I've just always believed in playing football games to get ready to play in football games. I'm crazy that way. I think the more football games you play in, the better you're going to play in the next football game that you play in. Crazy me.
Whoa.
Weirdly, as preseason football has been tamped down in the number of games we ask teams to play, and then also in the seriousness with which teams take those games, the product in September has gotten worse. And everyone's going, why is the NFL product in week one so bad? That's been the story the last couple of years. As if we don't now have a verdict after screaming matches for years between people who cared about the preseason and people who didn't. The point was always the point. If you want to be ready to play in week one, play in the preseason. So I am team preseason. In this case, though, I can't really work myself into a lather because every situation is unique, right? And I think laying it out, if he plays against the Ravens, I don't care about the timeline of it's the third preseason game. You're not supposed to play in that game because now you're closer to the regular season. To me, it's worth playing, guys, because you're going to go 3 weeks without playing football, and that's actually a detriment. That's crazy and not ideal. You're not going to have a break that long all season for good reason. Like, you're going to be out of rhythm. It's like a team that doesn't play for a week before the division series in October playoff baseball. It doesn't hit for a couple of days because they're not able to conduct any timing at the plate or whatever. But in a very specific case to Jaden Daniels, in this very specific preseason, I'm okay with him not playing and throwing any passes because I don't think Ertz will be out there. I know Terry's not out there. I don't think Noah Brown will be out there. And you're probably not going to have Tunsil or Brandon Coleman out there. Coleman did a little bit in his return to work today. Dan Quinn said he would get some practice time, but I don't think you would have him play in the preseason against the Ravens. So if you don't have a left tackle, you don't have a left guard, you don't have your starting right guard, you got 60% of your offensive line not there. Now you don't have your top two wide receivers there. You don't have your top tight end there. Just the notion that he's got to go out there, to me, it's about timing. It's about rhythm. It's about getting on the same page with guys. It's about getting some of those reps to make things second nature. You're not going to be able to do that anyway.
Right.
He's throwing passes to Jalen Lane, maybe, who's like going to be his wide receiver four when this thing starts, hopefully. He's throwing passes to, I guess Deebo might play, but we saw him play against Cincinnati. I don't think he's going to go Saturday either. So if you play Jaden Daniels, you got to play a lot of other guys.
Yep.
I don't think that's reality. I don't think that's what they're trying to do. And if that's the case, then the decision's made for me. Now, if Dan Quinn's actually willing to play everybody, let's say Tunsil goes, Coleman's ready to go, and even the injured players aren't. Still no McLaurin, no Noah Brown, but like Zach Ertz plays. Mm-hmm. Now I do feel different. And I hope people can understand the difference. It's literally about going through this with my teammates and having an actual authentic look for what this Giants game is going to be like. And if I could do that with three starters on the O-line and a tight end that I didn't get it with against Cincy, then there's tons of value in a couple of drives of doing that. And it is well worth it to me just to break that sweat so that I'm not going 3 weeks without a game. I think that's a really bad ask of this team. I think that stinks that that's how it's going to work out.
I do too. I do not like the calendar. And again, I don't know whose fault that is. I don't know who the schedulers are. I don't know who's responsible for it. But I saw this short week, and this jumped out at me already as a weird, bizarre thing. And then the long layoff before the actual regular season starts. And I'm going, very, very easy to not be sharp in week one against the hungry Giants team.
One other point. I've had people say to me, Well, the Ravens probably won't play their starters in this game. And if that's the case, then there's less value for Jaden Daniels to be out there against backups. And I actually disagree with that point because I don't really care. Again, just talking about this one game, about him getting looks against the Ravens starters. I don't need him to have to play good on good here. This is about...
It's less about him staring down Kyle Hamilton and more about rhythm and time.
It's about me and my guys. It's about me and Zach Ertz getting some game action. Now, Ertz is practicing at a high level and has been out there and in that scrimmage was the most targeted guy. And like, I do think that Ertz and Daniels are probably in tandem ready to go. But would I like to see it in the game? Sure. And if I'm being honest, I always think some of this is the fact that I just can't quit on the preseason. I believe that it matters. I believe that it's relevant. I believe that taking it seriously helps you. I think the teams that haven't, like the Bengals, have learned a hard lesson. The Rams generally overcome their terrible starts.
Mm-hmm.
But look at their last 3 years. They had a year in there where they never could get right, and it just their early season spiral killed them. And then 2 years where they rose from the ashes.
Yeah, got off the terrible starts and played great football.
And it's because Sean McVay goes, we don't care about August. It's a huge part of it. Let's go to Kevin and Culpepper. What's up, Kev?
Hey, guys. Yeah, a couple things. I'm not concerned at all. If he had been hurt or had a surgery in the offseason, I'd be concerned. But he was playing great at the end of the year. He's had a whole nother offseason. I think he's fine. I think the chemistry thing is important to some degree. But, like, as an example, McCaffrey. Everybody says he is open all the time, yet he never gets the ball. So my question is, or my concern would be, they don't have great chemistry. If he's always open, why does he never get the ball? So I don't think just playing in the preseason makes a big difference to me.
Thanks, buddy. As an aside, on the Luke McCaffrey discourse, we got a lot of feedback, a lot of comments. I had some takes yesterday on Luke McCaffrey. You could go check those out at Grant H. Paulson. There's some videos that I posted from the fan. Cliff Notes, if you missed it, were basically, I've long been a Luke McCaffrey guy in the sense of I like the idea of him, and the metrics of the analytics last year on his separation and things were pretty good. And then you look at the film junkies and their breakdowns, and they go, look at this play, he's open, and I'll watch the all 22, and I'll see him run by a corner. But my point was, at some point, you've got to catch passes. Like, it cannot be good enough. There are not wide receivers in the NFL that are in year three or four that are catching 18 to 22 balls that we just say are awesome, and they're open all the time, and they're so good at separating, so it doesn't matter that they don't catch the ball. Like, the job is get open, catch pass. And someone will say, well, you can't throw it to yourself. And to my point to that is, well, you're right, except that if no one's throwing it to you, then there's a lack of trust, or there's some reason that you're not getting the ball.
There's a better option. Again, everybody's judged by the production, offensive coordinator, quarterback, et cetera. We got some pretty good people here in those spots. You tell me Jaden Daniels is stupid?
Well,
you telling me that Cliff Kingsbury didn't know what he's
doing?
I'm
Sam Hartman. Yeah. I'm trying to win a job. I'm trying to make a roster. I'm out there, and I got Jalen Lane on one side, and I got Luke McCaffrey on the other. And Lane's been cooking dudes in practice for weeks, and I've thrown him the ball 8,000 times. McCaffrey has struggled to get open in practice or whatever. You know, I'm going to throw to the guy that I trust. This is about who's going to win for me, right? Who do I trust the most? So there's got to be some element of that. I also just don't know. From a trait standpoint, I think about players as an evaluation almost through a baseball lens of like tools. So speed and hit and power and field and the five tools in baseball that we could go through. With Luke McCaffrey, if we're looking for 20-80 scale tools, I don't know where his 70 is. Like, I don't know what he does brilliantly, exceptionally. Elite trait, plus. He's very athletic. His RAS scores were off the charts, and I know that was one of the reasons that this org, which cares about that, really liked him. But he's an oversized slot, and I just, at some point, when you're out there in the second half of a preseason game against a dude not making the Bengals, terrible defense, I need you to just catch three balls for 57 yards. You know, or I don't know, one would be nice, too. We could start there. Just get open, catch a pass. And so it wasn't meant to knock Luke McCaffrey as much as to say, it's time, man. It's the second preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Ben Sinnott don't get targeted and don't catch passes. Last year, my point was, maybe they're just not involved. You got to earn your keep. But in preseason games, Cliff Kingsbury is trying to figure out what you are. He's going, hey, let's get it to McCaffrey here. So it would be cool, to get back to the point, to see McCaffrey get to play with Jaden Daniels. Because is it that Hartman didn't turn it loose, that Johnson didn't see it, that they didn't want to try to fit the ball down the field? Like, you get a better look at a guy with better talent. And so if Daniels doesn't play at all, it means more of Hartman, it means more of Johnson or whatever. If you're really trying to evaluate, can KJ Osborne make this roster? Is Luke McCaffrey who we think he is? How do we get Ben Sinnott, you know, a chance to show himself? Then playing Jaden Daniels a little bit, even if it just means the way the depth chart bumps down, it's just less time of Hartman spraying it around, probably helps with the evaluation of those other guys.
You would say so, yeah. Unless they know in their, you know what I mean. Unless there's no eval to be done. Unless they've, you know, put those guys in bubble wrap and we've got everybody's role figured out. And who knows if that's the case or not? I mean, it's hard to read sometimes, is what I would say. But for me, you never know exactly what's going on in a given play, where a read takes you or whatever. What didn't jive for a while, I remember early in the season last year, we're going, hey, it looks like according to this, every advanced analytic, every PFF score, whatever, McCaffrey's open, just not getting the ball.
That's what I'm saying. I never had a problem with him. It's just over. At some point, you have to catch passes.
Yeah, this is as the offense is moving and whatever. So when I'm thinking in past years where they can't score, they can't get first downs, and I'm going, you're not throwing the ball to Terry McLaurin. That's stupid. Like, I wouldn't be able to go to sleep at night if I'm not moving the football. My best player doesn't catch the ball. When you're moving the ball and scoring like they were last year, I don't give a damn who it is. You do you, buddy. When it starts to slow down, sure, I can ask a question. So I'm going, well, it's not really that big a deal. They're not getting the ball. There are other options on each play. But at a certain point, these people that are really, really smart, I mean really smart, and whose jobs are on the line every second of every day, would probably look and go, look how quickly this guy got open. This maybe should be our better option on a certain play, gets a certain look, against certain coverage. And it never happened. That's the part I can't figure out. Is there some thing that I don't know? There's some glitch in the matrix here that maybe he's not getting open fast enough. Maybe the separation isn't occurring quickly enough. Maybe he is getting open, but it takes too long. I have no idea. I just know that those advanced things about how great he looks don't match anywhere close to the production for a team last year, again, that was targeting Diami Brown, Jamison Crowder, and a bunch of nobodies 100 times last year.
Yeah, you're out there in the second half of the preseason, and Ja'Cory Brooks is getting targets, right? I mean, they're throwing the football to Tay Martin. Michael Gallup's getting an opportunity. You just, at some point, there's got to be a production to go with it. That's all. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll take your calls next, 800-636-1067. Can you be okay with zero pass attempts this August for Daniels going into that Giants game? Will you feel more nervous about the offense if they don't play again? It looks great. 4 plays, 74 yards, and a touchdown when we did see them. This is the Fan.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In 10 minutes at 6 o'clock, Nationals ace lefty Mackenzie Gore will join us over at Nats Park. The Nationals and the Mets tonight at 6:45. We'll catch up with Gore, who pitches tomorrow. I want to ask him about facing Juan Soto, what that matchup is like, and how you go about trying to attack one of the great hitters of his era at this point. Gore, a regular with us, will be on the show every single week for the remainder of the season right here on Grant and Danny, which we're fired up about.
It's awesome.
Chuck's in Chantilly. Chuck, can you be okay with Jaden Daniels not throwing a pass this preseason?
Not really. And it's not so much about the I do thank y'all for taking my call.
You bet.
Not really, because it's not so much about the receiver. It's more about the defenders to me. I would feel better if he actually threw some passes against a different defense than the ones that he's been practicing with every day for the last 6 months. You know, we need to play against some different players and some different schemes and stuff like that. I think that'd be valuable to him. That's just my little 2 cents on it.
Appreciate you, buddy. Yeah, anybody giving you different looks, different tendencies? I mean, the same way defenses are always ahead of offenses in training camp, right? Because they kind of know your formations, your play calls, and everything else, and they can kind of cheat on it a little bit. It takes a while for that to get up to speed. Once you start getting up to speed, then it would behoove you to find a totally different set of defensive linemen for the offensive linemen to go up against different guys with a different set of pass rushers, cornerbacks with a different set of press techniques or bail techniques or coverages or the way certain teams play. All of that experience going into the data bank is invaluable, for sure.
Let's go to Will, who's in Stafford, wants to hop in on the fan.
Hey,
Will.
Hey, Grant and Danny, how y'all doing, man? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy, you got it.
I was thinking about what we were talking about McCaffrey, and I don't think McCaffrey can live off his brother's name. I think McCaffrey needs to start catching some passes and show us why he's still on the team, because he really didn't catch a lot of passes last
18
year, you know, when you really think about it.
Yeah, most of those came earlier in the year. I mean, as the season went on, he was essentially just used on special teams.
Exactly, man. It's almost like him and Ben Sennett. Neither one of them really showed me much of anything last season. So I'd like to see something from them. They're going to still be on the team. And one last thing I wanted to say, man, I'm really disappointed in Hartman, man, because, you know, all this hype around Hartman, he hasn't showed me anything.
I don't know how much hype there was about him. I mean, they brought him in here. You know, with very
little stories because he's handsome.
Yeah, there's very little fanfare. This was a guy that was not. It's not like he was, you know, a draft pick where there were high expectations, right? I mean, Sam Hartman came into the NFL as an undrafted free agent in 2024. So, I think he's got a good relationship with Daniels. He's good in the quarterback room. They view him as a bit of a project who they could turn into a long-term backup quarterback type. He's got some Heinicke traits to me. I think his arm is problematic. You know, in the sense that the arm strength is going to be below average. But when he gets out of the pocket and makes plays and he extends and creates, he looks like a frisky athlete. You know, he can be an NFL quarterback, kind of like Sam Ellinger, Taylor Heineke. You know, those guys are Colt McCoy light, those types mm-hmm. that are maybe physically, they don't have all the same traits that you're looking for. But yeah, it hasn't been a great preseason. He was competing with Josh Johnson. Clearly, Johnson's going to be the third quarterback. And the question is Hartman on the practice squad or not? But you know, as far as McCaffrey goes, he mentioned Sinnott as well. Look, it's true. Those guys have not gotten a lot of chances. I guess my question is, at what point do we say there's a reason for that? I wasn't doing this last year. Last year, I was just saying, hey, you can't throw yourself the pass. Like, at some point, you got to get an opportunity to get the ball, and that has to be earned. As a tight end, you got to block. You got to do the dirty work. You got to do whatever they're asking you to do. As a wide receiver, you know, McCaffrey proved himself capable, willing as a physical guy, doing some of that stuff, cleaning things up and out, you know, down around the line of scrimmage. But when now we're into the end of preseason two and we're just waiting for any signs, it's like we're staring at the machine and we're just waiting for beep, beep, like something to show us yep. that there's life here coming. It just hasn't happened.
Six catches over his last nine games last year. Six.
Yeah, they opted out of the McCaffrey business in season for Jamison Crowder and some of the other dudes yeah, that they were bringing in.
So, like, and it wasn't if he was on 100-catch pace to start the year. It was 11 through his first, you know, I think
it was on the field
six games. But he's on the field getting snaps.
Fourth and two against the Bengals. He catches and runs from 40 yards.
Exactly. Big catch against the Eagles, too, I think, in one of those games. I think may have been a fourth down or a huge third down play for 20-some yards. So, at one point, it was like two catches a game, which is a nice base to begin kind of contributing. That changed, and it hasn't come back.
Mackenzie Gore of the Nationals. Next, we get out of here for pregame at 6:15. We'll take you up to that on The Fan.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply.
issued by WebBank in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.